start your own business? This is a question that more than 50% of adult Americans consider sometime during their careers. Fully 58% of members of the baby boom generation plan and hope to start their own businesses someday. More than 70% of all men and women coming out of the universities with business degrees are intending to go out on their own when the time is right. The answer to the question, should you start your own business, is a very affirmative yes. The very fact that you're thinking about your own business is a good indication that you have the ability to be successful at it. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that with very few exceptions, almost anyone has the capacity to start and build his own or her own successful business. We've entered into the age of the entrepreneur in America. More new businesses are being started today than at any other time in history. More than 1.2 million new corporations, partnerships, and sole proprietorships report their earnings to the IRS each year. Sweeping changes in every aspect of American life are creating an almost limitless number of new business opportunities for innovative and ambitious men and women. The sharp increases in single parents and women in the paid labor force has created an unrelenting demand for more daycare centers, takeout restaurants, and convenience products. Breakthroughs in science and technology have created entire new industries. Government deregulation of finance, transportation, and telecommunications has single-handedly produced thousands of new businesses, hundreds of thousands of new jobs, and countless new millionaires. And the nation's aging population is triggering a boom in nursing homes, retirement communities, and for-profit hospitals. In the years ahead to the year 2000, there will be more opportunities for business success in our society than have ever before existed. And the richest rewards, as always, will go to those who find themselves in those situations where preparation meets opportunity. Fully 74% of self-made millionaires in America achieve their wealth by starting and building their own successful businesses. I've worked with thousands of these men and women over the years, and I must tell you that they're no different from you and me. All kinds of men and women from every age, with every possible limitation of talent, ability, contacts, and marketable skills have gone on to start and build successful businesses and achieve financial independence. And so can you. In this session, we'll try to cover the entire waterfront of insights and possibilities with regard to you starting your own business. Let's start off, first of all, with the reasons why you might leave a salaried position and start off on your own. These reasons cover probably 99% of the motivating factors that launch a person in. The number one reason why people become entrepreneurs is for the freedom and the autonomy. Most entrepreneurs have a very high need to be on their own, to be self-responsible, and to not have to answer to anyone else but themselves. They need and enjoy the freedom of setting their own hours and being accountable for both the risks and rewards of success. Many men and women who have a hard time adjusting to a corporate environment are ideally suited to become entrepreneurs and to build their own organizations and achieve their own financial independence. If you have an intense need for personal freedom and autonomy, for freedom from restrictions of all kinds, you may have the individualistic type of mentality that makes you ideal for entrepreneurship. The second reason why people start businesses is because of economic turbulence in the marketplace. Many talented men and women are finding themselves back on the streets after years of hard work and dedicated service to their corporations. Because of the ongoing process of mergers and acquisitions, combined with the flattening out of the organizational pyramids, many talented people, especially middle managers, are suddenly finding themselves no longer employed. By the way, losing a job unexpectedly is one of the milestones in the lives of almost all the really successful people in America. When they looked back, they found that having been fired, laid off, or quitting was the turning point in their lives and the starting point of the great success they eventually achieved. Often, men and women receive a lump sum of money, either as severance pay, as a bonus, or as a part of their retirement plan when they leave their job. At this point, the person has a choice. He or she can either put the money in the bank and begin the search for new security in another company, or this person can start out on his own. A third reason why people start their own businesses is because they realize that they've gone as far as they can go in their current job or their current industry. And they realize that no matter how hard they work, they can't rise much higher working for someone else. Perhaps the salary and wage structure of the organization is fixed. Perhaps the wage structure in the entire industry is such that you can only go so far being on someone else's payroll. If this is the case for you, perhaps it's time for you to think of going out and starting your own business. A fourth and very common reason why people start their own businesses and ultimately become financially independent is that they come up with an idea that their company is not interested in and will not support. After trying hard to sell the idea for a new product or process or service within the company, many people decide to prove that their idea is a good one by going out and starting their own business and making it successful. If you see ways that your business or industry could be greatly improved, ways to increase revenue or cut costs, ways to make the way things are done more efficient and effective, and you can't get support for your ideas, this might be a clue to you that it's time for you to be on your own. The fifth reason why people start their own businesses is what I call the brother-in-law factor. This is similar to a significant emotional experience, an experience that a person has that makes him or her angry enough to motivate the person to get really serious about their financial future, perhaps for the first time. This significant emotional experience is often triggered by seeing a brother-in-law or someone else who the person knows is not particularly talented or intelligent starting his own business and doing extremely well. Often, this causes a person to take action, to go out and take the risk and start a business just to prove that he or she is just as good, if not better, than his or her brother-in-law. The sixth reason many people strike out on their own and start their own businesses is that they realize that they are working hard and making a lot of money for someone else. It finally dawns on them that they can be making just as much money, if not far more, by doing the same things for themselves. At this point, they leave their jobs and start their own businesses. The seventh reason people take the plunge into entrepreneurship is that a person gets an idea for a product or service that makes him or her so excited that he just has to go out and prove that it was a good idea. Many men and women come up with ideas that cause them to toss and turn at night, sometimes for weeks and months, until they finally decide to go out into the marketplace and make their ideas a reality. And here's the critical part of starting and building your own successful business. It is simply having the courage to begin. Once you start, you begin to learn what you need to know at a rapid rate. When everything you have is at stake, your ego, your money, your reputation, your emotions, your relationships, when you've laid it all on the line, it's amazing how quickly you learn how to innovate and create and solve problems and overcome difficulties. The possibility of losing your shirt is a wonderful stimulation to high performance in entrepreneurship. A professor at Babson College, Dr. Robert Ronstadt, studied successful entrepreneurs for several years. He concluded that there was only one single factor that explained the difference between the successful entrepreneurs and the unsuccessful entrepreneurs who had taken his college courses. The difference was that the successful entrepreneurs had launched. They had made a start. They had stepped out in the face of uncertainty. They had dared to go forward and to take a risk. Those who did not succeed at entrepreneurship almost invariably became victims of paralysis by analysis. They spent an enormous amount of time planning to start a business, but they never got around to it. Now here's the important point, and this point, if you fully understand it, can make you rich. The 12-year study concluded that when you launch, you enter a corridor, like a long hallway, the end of which you can't see. As you move down the corridor, you come to doors of opportunity that open for you because you're there. You can't see these doors of opportunity, nor can you predict them in advance. They only open because you are in motion, because you are moving down the corridor toward your goal of business success. As these doors open, you'll get additional information, ideas, resources, insight, and assistance that will enable you to overcome obstacles, solve problems, and move steadily toward entrepreneurial success. The most important thing is to have the courage to plunge into the corridor and begin moving forward. Be willing to accept feedback and self-correct. Be willing to learn from every situation. Be willing to cherish your failures and treasure your mistakes. Be willing to extract the valuable lesson from each thing that happens to you. By so doing, you continue to move down the corridor, and the doors of opportunity continue to open for you, often in the most unexpected places and in the most unexpected ways. In my work with thousands of entrepreneurs, I've never found one who had the courage to begin and the persistence to endure who did not eventually achieve success. And almost all entrepreneurs achieve success doing something different from what they'd originally started out doing. But they chop and change and learn and grow. They remain flexible and open to new information, and they keep their eyes on the goal of financial success. They don't get bogged down or fall in love with a rigid way of doing things or with a specific product or service that they are absolutely determined to sell. Instead, they realize that the job of the entrepreneur is to produce and market a product or service at a profit, and they are willing to make whatever changes are necessary in order to achieve this goal. So the first quality that you need is courage. The two greatest enemies of mankind are and always have been fear and ignorance. It is fear that holds us back from taking the actions that would lead on to success. And it's ignorance that breeds fear, that paralyzes our very best intentions. If you don't know what you need to know in order to be successful, it's only logical that you be fearful and doubtful and afraid of taking the chance. When you're immersed in ignorance, the risks seem almost insurmountable. Throughout this entire course, I've been giving you ideas and insights, proven formulas that have worked for millions of men and women to help you overcome the ignorance that holds most people back. With this new information, you should be able to launch yourself forward toward the fulfillment of your dreams and aspirations. The second quality you need to succeed as an entrepreneur is higher than average levels of optimism. Entrepreneurs and successful business people tend to have the two qualities of irrepressible optimism and constructive pessimism. Their irrepressible optimism causes them to believe that they will ultimately be successful. This optimism, combined with courage, translates into an attitude of self-confidence that enables them to keep on going in the face of adversity. One of the reasons why they can maintain their courage and their optimism is because of their constructive pessimism. This simply means that they are willing to face reality as it is, to look at the worst possible thing that can happen as a result of any decision that they make. A constructive pessimist is willing to seek out the opinions of people who may be negative toward their business idea or concept. They are willing to test their ideas by allowing others to poke holes in them. A constructive pessimist is willing to listen to every reason why his idea, product, or service may not work, and then take it all as information, address the negative feedback, and proceed onward, wiser for the experience. One of the main reasons why entrepreneurs fail is that they become dizzy with positive thinking. They think that if they're happy and cheerful enough about their idea, that's enough to make it a success. They refuse to listen to input from anyone else. They won't talk to people who may point out the weakness in their idea. They surround themselves with people who agree with them, and they start down that fatal road to financial failure and often personal bankruptcy. The third quality that you need to succeed as an entrepreneur is the ability to plan strategically. You need to be able to write out a clear blueprint of the entire business. This is something that's so important that I'll speak about it in greater detail in the next session. The fourth quality that you absolutely must have to start and build a successful business is that you must be able to sell. The ability to sell the product or service is the absolutely indispensable requirement for success when you start your own business. If you cannot sell, or if you cannot go into business with someone else who is excellent at sales, you should put aside the idea of entrepreneurship for the time being. However, if being financially independent is important enough to you, you can eventually learn how to be an excellent salesperson. Many men and women, during the stage when they're saving their money and planning their own businesses, work for other organizations. While they're with these organizations, they request transfers and they move around so that they get a variety of experiences. Especially, they insist on getting into the sales force so that they can go out and call on customers face to face. They may not like having to go out and risk rejection, but they realize that this is one of the prices that they have to pay if they want to start and build a successful business in a competitive economy. I will spend an entire session on how to sell well because it's so important to success in entrepreneurship. In fact, if you can sell, if you can plan your work and work your plan without supervision, you would be crazy not to start your own business. The very fact that you can sell effectively and well means that you have the key skill that you need to make your business a success. By the way, more than 75% of the best salespeople in America, both men and women, tend to be introverts on psychographic tests. They are not particularly outgoing. They are not loud and aggressive. They tend to be very low-keyed, quiet, and sensitive to the needs and concerns of their customers. They tend to be very people-oriented. They are not flashy or showy, but they have a wonderful ability to tune in to what another person is saying and to listen carefully. And many of these people are among the top 1% of salespeople in virtually every business in America. The reason that I mention this is that many people feel that they don't have the personality to be successful in selling and therefore in entrepreneurship. This is simply not true. What you need more than anything else is an intense desire to be on your own and build your own business, and the willingness to persist in the face of all difficulties until you succeed. If you have that, you can't help but be successful. Another quality that successful entrepreneurs have is that they have very strong commitments to winning. They're not loud about it, but they are intensely competitive. They have a very strong desire to see their product win in the marketplace. In fact, it's a good idea to think of your product or service as capable of becoming the market leader, as capable of becoming one of the best products or services in the United States. This attitude is extremely important. Without it, the budding entrepreneur will often restrict his or her vision so much that the product or service will never achieve its potential. Entrepreneurs are tenacious. They're like cats with nine lives. No matter what you throw at them, they keep bouncing back and finding new, better, faster, and easier ways to get the job done. They have tremendous persistence, and once they begin, they never stop short of success. The final quality, and perhaps the most important, is the willingness to work hard, hard, hard. Thousands of self-made millionaires have been interviewed and asked what they consider to be the personal qualities that have enabled them to accomplish so much. Almost all of them say that it was plain, old-fashioned, hard work. They don't consider themselves to be especially clever or more intelligent than the average, but they all feel that they were willing from an early age to work much, much harder than the average person. The average entrepreneurial work week in America is approximately 60 hours. Many entrepreneurs work 70 and 80 and 90 hours per week. This means that in order to succeed as an entrepreneur, as the joke goes, you only have to work half days, and you can choose whichever 12-hour period you like. The idea of the 5-day work week is soon cast aside by the serious entrepreneur. You must be prepared to work 10 or 12 hours per day, 6 or 7 days per week, for 2 to 4 years to make your business a financial success. Now, you may not have to work all those hours. You may be lucky, and you may come out with the right product or the right service at the right time, and the market will take off. But you should plan to work these hours so that you don't sabotage yourself by working too little during the crucial formative months and years of your company. If you're willing and able and prepared to work the high number of hours, it often happens that you don't have to. But if you're not willing to work the hours, failure is almost guaranteed. Successful entrepreneurship begins with an idea or concept. This idea or concept is a vision that you have for a product or service that you can bring to the market and sell and make a profit with. Successful entrepreneurs are intensely profit-oriented but also risk-averse. Contrary to the popular myth, entrepreneurs are not risk-takers. They are risk-avoiders. Entrepreneurs who are risk-takers are very soon bankrupt entrepreneurs. Successful entrepreneurs are those who are best able to minimize and reduce risk in the pursuit of profit, not increase and pursue risk for the purpose of making money. One of the ways that you reduce risk is by doing your homework, by planning every step of your business in advance and then staying on top of every important detail. There's a maxim in the military that says, "It's the details that kill you." Almost invariably, it is the small, unexpected details that someone assumed would be taken care of that cause you the most problems in your enterprise. In order for you to reduce risk, you need to think strategically, to plan well in advance, and to think through every important detail and be sure that it's covered either by yourself or by someone whom you trust absolutely. Entrepreneurship is very much subject to Murphy's Laws. You've heard the first of Murphy's Laws many times, which says, if anything can possibly go wrong, it will. And the corollary to Murphy's first law is that, of all the things that can possibly go wrong, the one thing that will go wrong will be the worst possible thing and at the worst possible time. When I began speaking and giving seminars some years ago, I learned that the most important tool that a speaker has to communicate with a large audience is his voice and the extension of his voice, the sound system. The second most important factor for a speaker in giving good public presentations is the lighting system. And the third is the heating and air conditioning system. Murphy's Law, as just stated, is perfectly applicable to this type of situation. In every case in my experience, the very first thing that any speaker has trouble with is the sound system. It packs up, it goes on and off, it creates pockets of silence throughout the room which cause people to shout and wave their hands, and sometimes it doesn't work at all. The second thing that goes wrong is the lighting. It's either too high or too low or in all the wrong places. And the third thing that goes wrong is the heating and air conditioning system. In the summer, the furnace will be on and the room will be 85 degrees. In the winter, the entire system will be malfunctioning and the room will be 65 degrees. And of course, audiences almost invariably blame the speaker for their discomfort. Just another example of Murphy's Law. Murphy's second law is that no matter how much time you plan, everything takes longer than you expect. The third of Murphy's laws, and this is terribly important for you as an entrepreneur, is that everything always ends up costing you much more than you calculated. The fourth Murphy's law is that nothing is ever done right the first time. When you combine these laws, you have a pretty accurate definition of what entrepreneurs have to deal with day after day. The worst possible things that can go wrong, such as the loss of their most important customers or the theft of their cash from their bank account, tends to go wrong at the worst possible time. No matter how well they plan, the most important promises they make cannot be delivered upon because nothing is ever completed on schedule. And no matter how carefully you budget, it always costs more to do it and you always sell less of it. And of course, everything takes longer than you possibly imagined. One of the most important applications of Murphy's Law is that no matter how carefully you project to the day when your business will break even, you should take your most conservative estimate and then triple it. If you feel that based on your budget projections you'll break even and be in the black making a profit 6 months after starting, in order to be safe and sane, you should triple that 6-month estimate to 18 months. Thousands and thousands of business cases have proven that tripling is far more likely to be accurate than your best guess based on your financial projections. Once you have a vision or a concept, an idea for a product or service, you need to prepare a business plan. A business plan is the blueprint for your enterprise. Your ability to analyze and assemble all of the information necessary to create an accurate business plan is one of the most important tests of whether or not you're capable of succeeding in business. Your ability to create a business plan, whether it takes you 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years, is absolutely essential to your getting the money you need, to setting up your business in the proper way, to selling enough of your product or service in a competitive market, to getting suppliers who will provide you with goods and services, and hiring the people you need. The business plan is like your Bible and is so important that, as I said, I will give you all the elements of the business plan in the next session. There are basically three ways that you can get into business. You can start your own business from scratch, or you can buy an existing business, or you can purchase a franchise from one of the more than 2,000 companies throughout the United States that sell franchise operations. I'll describe the strengths and weaknesses of each of these three approaches in a minute. But what do you do if you have no money, or even worse, if you're deeply in debt? When I discussed the importance of a personal plan for financial accumulation, how vital it was that you save at least 10% of your income, I was talking about having enough money to take advantage of an opportunity when it came along. One of the most priceless of all opportunities to stumble across is a great business idea or concept. This is the reason why you save 10% of your income, so that you have this opportunity money available when your chance comes. Let's say that you have no money, but you're willing to take a chance, work hard, start off in the face of uncertainty, sell, set goals, plan strategically, and even put together a business plan. What do you do then? Well, there are two things that you can do. First, you can take a sales job in a field that interests you. You can go to work and learn on the job while you're actually engaged in the field or occupation in which you'd like to start your own business. A gentleman went through one of my seminars in Denver and followed my advice to the letter. He began managing his time very carefully. Within 2 months, had doubled his sales output and his sales income. He began saving 10% of his income, and within a year, he was saving almost 30%. He set out some very clear, specific goals for his life and looked around him to see what kind of a business he could go into. He decided to go into a business in computer services and immediately selected the best company in that field in which he lived. He got a job selling for that company so that he could earn while he learned. He has a game plan now, which will have him financially capable of starting his own successful business in his field within 3 years. And do you think he'll achieve it? His chances are extremely good. So the first thing that you can do is to go to work in your chosen field and become very knowledgeable and experienced. You've heard it said that 80% of new businesses fail within the first 5 years. The fact is that 99% of businesses started by people with no business experience fail within the first 2 years. However, when you break out the statistics, you will find that more than 90% of businesses started by people with previous business experience, especially in the same field, go on to succeed in the marketplace. In this session on your most valuable asset, I emphasized how important it was for you to learn what you need to know in order to be successful. It's far smarter for you to go to work for 2 or 3 or 5 years with a successful, progressive company, taking all the training you can get, saving your money, and learning everything that you possibly can learn before you start your own business. This will save you many thousands of dollars and years of hard work learning on your own. Another approach to entrepreneurship, if you lack the experience and the money, is to go into multi-level or network marketing. Many fortunes in America in the last 30 years have been started by a man or woman who got his or her initial experience and capital by selling a multi-level marketing product. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of companies selling every conceivable product in the United States today through multi-level marketing. It's one of the fastest-growing methods for the distribution of products and services, and you can get into a multi-level marketing organization with very little money. However, to succeed in multi-level marketing, you must be prepared to work very, very hard. You must be prepared to work evenings and weekends, a minimum of 10 to 20 extra hours per week in addition to your full-time job. However, if you're willing to do this, multi-level marketing could be the starting point of your movement upward toward financial independence and wealth. Here are my recommendations on what you should look for in a bona fide, first-class, high-quality, multi-level network marketing company. Number one, first of all, the company must have high-quality products with a good reputation in the marketplace. The products should do what they're sold to do. Avoid medium or low-quality products at all costs. The second thing to look for in a multi-level marketing company is fair prices. Many multi-level marketing products are outrageously priced in comparison with what else is available in the marketplace. Look at the prices of competitive products and evaluate the differences objectively. The third thing that you should look for is a 100% unconditional money-back guarantee for each and every and all products that you or anybody else buys from this company. If people aren't completely satisfied, they should be able to return even the empty containers and get their money back. If you're not completely satisfied, you should be able to turn in your extra products and get your money back as well. The fourth thing to look for is minimum or very small requirements for inventory. You shouldn't have to put up much money up front. The beauty of a good multi-level marketing company is that you can sell the product or service from samples or brochures and then only buy the product for resale when you've taken an order from your customer. Any company that requires you to keep a large stock of inventory is probably planning to make all their money off you rather than off the retail sales of the product. A good multi-level marketing organization should have prompt delivery and efficient internal accounting. They should be able to give you accurate statements, and you should be able to get the products that you need for resale in a timely manner. Another characteristic of the better multi-level marketing companies is that they have strong support organizations. For you, this is absolutely indispensable. You need all the training, product knowledge, motivation, and personal development you can get. Many people work with a multi-level marketing firm for a few years and then go on to build their businesses in totally separate fields. But what they learn with a multi-level marketing organization is invaluable to them in building up any other business. You need to have people that you can meet and work with and talk to and learn from on a regular basis. And that's what a multi-level marketing organization should give you. Be sure to look for honesty and integrity on the part of the parent company. One of the most important assets that any company has in America is its reputation. It's an exercise in frustration to try to sell a product when the parent company has a bad reputation because of a lawsuit or failure to fulfill its commitments in the past. And the final thing that you should look for whenever possible in a multi-level marketing company is that the product should be consumable. Once you've created a customer for your product or service, the customer should use up the products and like them so much that he or she will come back to you to reorder over and over. This is not only the basis for a successful multi-level marketing business, it's the basis for a successful business of just about any kind. For little or no investment, you can start a part-time business as a multi-level marketer, selling to your friends and relatives at first, and then building up a broader customer base. Many enterprising men and women have built substantial second incomes and even achieved financial independence with multi-level marketing organizations. So, if you have little money but lots of time, this could be a good place for you to start. Now, here's an exercise for you. What sort of business have you always wanted to get into? What products or services do you most enjoy using? What type of economic activity attracts your attention and holds your interest? What are the things that you do in your spare time that could be turned into a business? What unique talents and abilities do you have that could lead you in the direction of a business that would be ideal for you? What products or services could you really get excited about selling to someone else? Which business people do you particularly admire? What entrepreneurs have you read about that you've looked up to and wanted to emulate? If you could pick one business person you know, directly or indirectly, who would you most want to be like? What qualities does this person have that you would like to have as a part of your own character and your own behavior? By looking deeply into yourself, into your own interests and abilities, you will often get the germ of the idea or concept that could lead to starting your own business and building your own fortune. Anyone who really wants to can start and build a successful business in America today. We know this is true because just about every single different kind of person who's ever existed has already started and built a successful business and gotten rich as a result. There are 12 and 13-year-old children who have started businesses in junior high school and become wealthy by their early 20s. There are 65 and 75-year-old men and women who have started successful businesses. There are men and women from every walk of life with every conceivable limitation and obstacle who've accepted the challenge of entrepreneurship and then gone ahead and been successful at it, and so can you. The primary reason why people don't start successful businesses is because of ignorance. They don't know how, and for some reason, they will not make the effort to learn how. This ignorance is manifested in a generalized fear of failure, a fear of the unknown that paralyzes action and keeps them in their comfort zones, working for wages all the years of their lives. The purpose of this session is to give you a general overview of some of the things you can do starting right now to begin growing your own business. More than 74% of self-made millionaires in America achieve their wealth by starting businesses of their own. More than 3,000 men and women start new businesses every single day in the United States. If you act on what you learn in the next few minutes, you may be in business yourself before the end of the week. The purpose of a business is to create and keep a customer. The purpose of a business is not to make a profit. Making a profit is the result of your success in creating and keeping and serving your customers in a cost-effective way. All successful businesses have an intense focus on the customer, on what the customer wants, and on how to satisfy the customer. They have an obsession with customer service. The successful entrepreneurs are those who see themselves as working for and on behalf of their customers. And they look at everything that they do through the eyes of their customers. This is what enables them to satisfy their customers better than their competitors. Let's say that you've decided that you want to start your own business, but you're not exactly sure of how to go about finding a product or service. Because of the rapid changes in technology and the rapid development and introduction of new products and services, fully 80% of the most popular products and services that will be used 5 years from today don't even exist right now. They will be developed and brought into the market, making fortunes for the ambitious entrepreneurs who have seen their possibilities before anyone else. So begin with yourself. Look into your own talents and abilities. You may have a million-dollar idea in your own mind. Look back at your experience and your background. What have you learned that could be turned into a business? Examine your knowledge, the things that you've studied and learned over the years. Is there an idea or a possibility for a new business in your existing knowledge bank? What are your specific interests? You will have a tendency to be most successful in a business area that interests you, that holds your attention, something in which you can become completely absorbed. We said earlier that successful people are those who are able to lose themselves in their work, and this is only possible if you really care about the product or service that you're bringing to the marketplace. Look carefully at your current job. What part of your work do you do especially well? Look at your position in your business. Is there something there that suggests what you might be able to do in a business of your own? Remember the story of Acres of Diamonds. The moral of the story was that your own acres of diamonds, your own very best opportunities, probably lie right under your feet, right within your own work, and within your own knowledge and interests right now. Look around carefully to see if there isn't the seed or germ of an excellent business idea just waiting for you to reach out and touch it. Look for a product or service about which you can really become enthusiastic. You'll always be most successful doing something or marketing something that you really love. Every product or service must have a champion, someone who absolutely believes in the value and importance of the product and service to others. Look for something that's an improvement on an existing product or service rather than something brand new. Look for something that's cheaper at the same level of quality, or better quality at the same level of price. Look for some way to add additional features or functions onto an existing product that people are already using. An idea only needs to be 10% new or better to capture a substantial market share. In fact, you're much better off going into an established business or field rather than starting a new product or service. More than 80% of all new products fail in the first year, even when they're developed and marketed by the most successful companies in America. It's foolish to think that you can come into the marketplace with something that no one else has ever thought of, much less something that no customer has ever bought, and be successful against all the odds. Most self-made millionaires achieve their wealth in established fields, selling established products to established customers, but doing them just one better. When looking for a product or service idea, don't look for easy money. Don't look for gimmicks or useless knickknacks that have no practical purpose or value. Don't look for and don't listen to get-rich-quick schemes, ideas which suggest that you can make a lot of money in a short period of time through no real effort or investment of your own. Don't look for rewards without working. This is a violation of the law of sowing and reaping. Anyone, including yourself, who suggests in any business opportunity that you can make a lot of money without a sustained period of hard, hard work, is probably proposing something that's going to end up being a waste of time and money on your part. Another place to look for new products and services is in newspaper stories, magazine articles, and advertisements in a variety of U.S. publications. You can read trade magazines that are aimed at people in your industry. Whenever someone has an idea for a new product or service, they immediately begin to advertise it in publications that are read by people in those fields. You may read Popular Mechanics or Success Magazine or Inc. or various computer magazines to find new products or services that are just coming into the marketplace. You may be able to get the right to distribute these products or services in your market area. In some cases, these articles or advertisements will give you ideas on how to develop new products or services of your own to serve these markets. Your local library usually has a great selection of magazines. If you spend an afternoon going through publications in your local library, reading the advertisements carefully and taking down names and addresses to send away for information, you may be able to find the idea that you can use to launch your business. Another way to find ideas for new products, especially, is to go to trade shows. There are more than 15,000 trade shows held throughout the United States and Canada every year. All you need to get into a trade show is a business card and perhaps a small registration fee. Tell them that you're a retail customer and that you're coming to look at the various products and services being presented. Sometimes you'll see new products that have just come onto the market, and if you can get the rights to sell them in your city, they can form the foundation of your new business. You should also tell your friends that you're starting your own business and ask them to keep an eye open for products and services that you might offer. You'll be amazed at the amount of information that your friends are exposed to on a day-to-day basis, and they'll often introduce you to people who have ideas that you can use. You should look into your own field or skills. You may have a million-dollar idea in your own mind. It's been said that the average person has four ideas driving to and from work each year, any one of which could make them a millionaire. The rule is, catch the idea and write it down. Carry around a small idea pad with you all the time, and whenever you think of an idea that could help you launch or build a business, write it down quickly before you lose it. Many fortunes have been built on this simple technique for capturing useful ideas. Be sure to keep alert to new business opportunities that are occurring around you. Develop a money-making attitude. Put yourself in the mind of a customer, and when you see a new business concept, ask yourself, is that the kind of product or service that people will buy and use? If it is, you may be able to imitate someone else's idea or improve on the idea and start a business of your own. When you see products manufactured or sold in other places, your main objective must be to acquire the rights to sell those products or services in your market area. Often, a letter to a manufacturer or distributor will give you the right to sell that product or service where you live. In one famous example, a young entrepreneur got the catalog entitled Made in Europe and wrote away to a Dutch company that had manufactured a lightweight but sturdy plastic wheelbarrow. The Dutch company sent him a sample of the wheelbarrow for his evaluation. He took the sample to a home and garden show that was attended by wholesale and retail buyers from all over the country. From the one sample, he took orders for 64,000 wheelbarrows and became a millionaire overnight with this one product. There are countless stories like this where fast-moving entrepreneurs have captured the right to sell a product in a particular market area and then have built an entire business on one original product or service idea. One final point. You'll only be successful marketing and selling something that you believe in and would use yourself and would recommend to your best friend. I often have people... The purpose of your research is to find out every detail of the product or business. Study it carefully so that you know it intimately. Nobody should be able to ask you a single question about your product or service idea without you having a clear, intelligent answer. First, read trade magazines, articles, and stories on the business, the industry, or the occupation. Go to the library, to the Periodicals Index, and do your homework. Find out everything that's been written on the subject area of the business you're thinking about going into. This research process may take 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years, but it must be done before you make a final decision that this is the business for you. Second, seek out people in the same business and ask their opinion of the product or service. If you're thinking of starting a dry cleaning establishment, going into a multi-level marketing business, buying a franchise, or starting some kind of business service, go and speak to other people who are doing the same thing and ask them for their advice. Very often, young entrepreneurs refuse to speak to anyone else in the business for fear that someone else will steal their idea. The fact is that there are very few original ideas in any business or industry. Most of the ideas have been thought of 100 or 1,000 times. What is lacking is the intelligence, the creativity, and the drive to put the ideas into action. Third, ask your bank manager for his opinion and his advice. If you don't have a bank account, you should open one at the largest commercial branch in your area and ask to speak to one of their commercial lending officers. Tell him or her that you're thinking of starting a new business in this area and ask for his or her advice. Banks have an enormous amount of valuable information available to them, including their personal experiences with many other businesses similar to yours. Often, a banker will ask you a few questions and give you a few insights that will save you a fortune in time and money. Fourth, ask your friends, your family, and your acquaintances for information and ideas on the business. Ask everyone you know if they have any knowledge at all about the business that you're thinking of going into. Fifth, visit prospective customers for your product or service and ask if they would buy it. If they're going to be selling it at retail, ask if they could sell it. One of the best ways to find out if your product or service is any good is to go to the kind of person who you think is eventually going to end up buying the product or service and see what they think of it. This is not a perfect test, but it's something that you absolutely must do before you produce the product or import it in any quantity. Sixth, research all competitors for the product or service and ask yourself this key question. Why would someone switch to buy from me? Why would someone stop using an existing supplier of the product or service and start using me, a completely unknown quantity? If you can't answer this question with a very good reason, it could be that your business or service idea is not well thought out. Seventh, when considering a business that is for sale, find out why. As I said before, very few people will sell a successful business. Eighth, look at the business that you're thinking of starting or buying as though you were going to be in it for 20 years. Develop a long-term perspective. When you think of being in a business for 20 years, you tend to be far more careful about your research and your decisions than if you think you're going to get in and out of it fairly quickly. The long-term perspective sharpens the short-term perspective and makes you far more astute at making the critical decisions that will affect the future of your enterprise. Ninth and last, seek out and listen carefully to people who are negative towards your idea. Negative viewpoints can be invaluable to you and save you a fortune in time and money. Very often, other people will be able to point out a flaw in your thinking that you haven't seen, a flaw that would be in itself enough to cause your business venture to fail if you weren't able to correct it. Once you've found the product or service, and you've done some quick market research to assure yourself that this is a good idea, here are some ideas on how you can test market before you launch your business. First, make a prototype or create or get a sample of the product so that you can show it or demonstrate it, or you can photograph it. Two, before you can start your business, you need accurate prices and delivery dates from suppliers. You need to know exactly how much you're going to be able to charge for your product or service and how much it's going to cost you to produce the product or service in the first place. Three, get a buyer's personal opinion. Approach a prospective customer and ask him or her whether he or she would buy it, and what price would he or she pay for it. Call on the individual who makes buying decisions. Only a professional buyer can give you a really accurate insight into whether or not you have a winner. If you're going to offer your products for sale at retail, try a one-store test. Offer to put the product into the store on consignment. Often, you can do a test with a single customer. Go to a single customer and ask the customer if he or she would buy or use the product or service. This can give you valuable feedback that will help you make the right decisions later. If your business idea is for a product like the wheelbarrow I mentioned earlier, go to trade shows and show your product at trade shows attended by professional buyers. They will give you rapid feedback and tell you whether or not you have a product that's going to sell well in the marketplace. Another excellent way to test market your product or service is to ask your friends, your relatives, and even yourself if you or they would buy or use the product or service. Sometimes your family can give you very good feedback. Sometimes your friends can give you good feedback and also point out holes in your idea. They are not the beginning and end of your decision-making process, but they can be very helpful. If you've done your homework and your basic research, you're now ready to begin putting together your business plan. The development of a complete business plan before beginning business operations is one of the most important things you ever do in your entire life as an entrepreneur. Your ability to create a business plan is a real measure of whether or not you are cut out to be successful in business in the first place. Your business plan becomes the blueprint that you will use to build your business from the ground up. It's the plan that you will follow day by day, dollar by dollar, to assure that your business is a success. One of the primary reasons for success in business is the development of this accurate, detailed business plan in advance. And one of the primary reasons for failure in business, and especially entrepreneurship, is the unwillingness or inability to put together a complete business plan before beginning. A business plan requires an enormous amount of time and energy. You may have to research for many weeks to get all the information that you require to complete a business plan in such a form that it will serve as the proper framework to guide your decision making. There are 8 basic parts of a business plan. There are many books available on business plan writing, and there are several inexpensive software programs that you can purchase for business plan creation. I'll just briefly touch on the 8 key parts of the business plan so that you have an idea of the kind of information that you'll require. Part 1 of the business plan is a description of the concept or the idea. In this brief description, you outline the purpose of the company and why the company is being created in the first place. A company is merely a bundle of resources brought together to enter the marketplace and satisfy an as-yet unmet customer need, or to solve an as-yet unsolved customer problem. In your description of the concept, you address why the business is being brought into existence and what product or service opportunity you see that is not currently being met. Part 2 of the business plan is an outline of the objective of the business. This describes how much you intend to sell over the next 2, 3, 4, or 5 years, what kind of a market share you hope to gain with your product or service, and how much profit you intend to generate for the investors in your company. The 3rd part of the business plan is the market analysis. In this market analysis, you describe the process of research and investigation that led you to the development of the product or service idea. You describe clearly the entire marketplace and all the potential customers for the product or service. You describe specific customers that you intend to go after. You describe how the product will get to the market, how the product will be sold, and how it will be advertised and promoted. You describe the competitors for this product, both existing and future, and how and why your product or service is superior to them. You describe how the product will be priced and why you feel that you can charge these prices. You describe the history of similar products and services in the marketplace and what they're now doing or what has happened to them and the reasons for it. You show how many of your products or how many of your services you'll have to sell to break even and to make a profit based on the very best projections that you've been able to develop. The key to performing this market analysis, which lies at the heart of a successful business plan, is asking the right questions. Some of the most important questions that you can ask in marketing are the following. First, who exactly is your customer? What is your customer's age, your customer's income, your customer's occupation, your customer's education, interests, and family background? Describe a typical customer for your product or service in complete detail, including everything about this customer that makes him or her the person who will trade money for your business offering. The second question is, where is your customer? Where are your customers concentrated? Are your customers going to be in your local community, or nationwide, or worldwide? However you describe your customers exactly, you will then have to explain how you're going to market and sell and deliver to those customers. The next question is, how does your customer normally purchase your product? Through what marketing channels? Does your customer purchase your product as the result of direct selling, in stores, by direct mail, and so on? Knowing how your customer is accustomed to buying your product or service is an important part of your business plan and especially your marketing plan. And here's the key question. Why does your customer purchase your product? Or why will the customer purchase your product? What specific benefit will your customer get from purchasing your product or service? What problems will your product or service solve for the customer? The answer to the question why is one of the most important questions in all of your market research. Answering this question incorrectly is the primary reason why businesses fail. Another question you need to ask in marketing is, who is your competition? Who is currently selling to your customer now? What is your competition? What is causing your customer not to buy your product or service at this time? Your competition, for example, could be another company offering a competitive product or service. Or it could even be an idea or mindset in the customer that holds the customer back from buying the product or service at this time. Here's another question in marketing. Why does your customer buy from your competition? What benefits does your customer perceive that he or she receives from your competitor? What's most attractive about your competitor's product? And of course, how are you going to offset the perceived benefits and advantages of buying from your competitor in your customer's mind? Why would or should your customers switch from your competition to buy from you? What is especially attractive about your product or service that makes it different? And here's the key to all business successes, what I call your area of excellence. In strategic planning, it's called your competitive advantage. In marketing, we call it your unique selling proposition. Your competitive advantage or unique selling proposition is the part of your product or service that makes it superior in some way to any other product or service in the marketplace. All successful businesses in America are based on the development and maintenance of meaningful competitive advantage. This means that the company analyzes its customers carefully and then produces a product or service that satisfies its customers better than any other competitive product or service available in that price and quality range. Sometimes competitive advantage can be achieved by simply having your business located closer to customers, such as a corner grocery store or a 7-Eleven. Sometimes meaningful competitive advantage is contained in the fact that you are a low-cost supplier for products or services that are consumed in large quantities. The tremendous success of Walmart stores is based on their being an everyday low-price supplier of a wide range of products for the middle-class American family. What is your area of excellence? What is it about your product or service that makes it superior to other choices? Remember, customers are only interested in themselves, not in your success or failure. They're perfectly selfish. They will only buy something that they feel is the very best product or service that they can get at this time, at this quality, for this amount of money. Before you can start your own business with any hope of success, you must be able to describe your competitive advantage in 25 words or less. This competitive advantage becomes the primary reason why you're going into business in the first place. This unique selling proposition then becomes the central focus of all your advertising and promotion. Your ability to achieve this competitive advantage and hold it against all competitors will determine how fast and even whether you become financially successful in your business. It's said that there are four keys to success in marketing. The first key is specialization, or doing something in an excellent fashion. All successful businesses specialize in a narrow area, and they do one or a few things very well. They achieve excellence in a specific product or service area. The second key to marketing success is differentiation. Differentiation is the way you make your product or service stand out in the mind of your customer. You make it appear different as the result of your competitive advantage or your advertising. This is often called your area of uniqueness. If your product or service is not definitely unique in some way, it will seldom achieve worthwhile market share or lasting profitability. The third key to marketing strategy is segmentation. You segment your market when you identify the customers for whom your competitive advantage is the most beneficial. In every case, your ability to identify your market segment will determine how much of your product you sell, how fast you sell it, and how much profit you'll actually earn. The fourth key to marketing strategy is concentration. This means that once you've decided upon your ideal customers and your ideal market segment, you concentrate all of your resources single-mindedly on selling the very most of your product or service to this specific customer group. These four keys, specialization, differentiation, segmentation, and concentration, are all essential to a successful marketing strategy. Another area that you must cover in Part 3, the market analysis section of your business plan, is what is called the marketing mix. The marketing mix is also made up of four ingredients, and they are called the four P's. The first P in the marketing mix is product. Exactly what product or service are you going to sell to this specific market? The second P is price. How are you going to price the product? Are you going to mark it up by a certain amount based on your actual costs? Are you going to add a specific percentage to it? Are you going to attempt to cream the market by charging premium prices? Are you going to maximize the market share by charging discounted prices? What sort of prices are you going to give for quantity purchases? How will you price it at both wholesale and retail? Thinking through the pricing of a product for a specific market is very, very important. The third P in the marketing mix is place. Where are you going to sell this product at this price or combination of prices? What geographical location or in what kind of stores or over what market area are you going to sell this product or service? And the fourth P is promotion. How are you going to advertise and promote this product at this price, at this place, to this customer? How will you advertise and how much will you spend on advertising? How are you going to tell the marketplace about your product or service? How are you going to inform customers that this product or service is available at this price, at this place? Your advertising and promotion strategy is vital to the success of your whole plan. Section 4 of your business plan covers your description of the production facilities necessary to create the product or service. If you're going to manufacture something in this part of the business plan, you would explain your equipment requirements or facilities needed or building requirements as well as requirements for raw materials, labor, and various supplies and resources. You would spell them out in terms of both quantities required and the prices that you will have to pay to acquire them. In addition to production, you would describe the quality controls you would install, as well as the packaging and the transportation requirements for the production of the product. You would produce a program for the initial time period and a schedule which outlines who is to do what and by when. You would develop a budget and clearly spell out what quantitative and qualitative results you'd expect in getting ready to produce the product or service. Section 5 of your business plan covers all of the elements of marketing that we've discussed, plus a few more. In this section, you would explain how you're going to advertise and sell the product. You would explain the product or service features and benefits that you would emphasize in your promotional efforts. You would lay out a program and schedule for your initial promotional period, as well as a budget for how much you intend to spend and how much in sales you expect to result from this expenditure. Section 6, which is very important, is the organizational structure of your new company and the people who will be expected to carry out the business plan. You would describe who would be accountable for what and to whom, who would be the boss and who would be the employee, what experience and background would they have, how would you staff your company in the initial time period, and what schedule would you use for staffing? What would be your budget for bringing together the human resources that you require in order to turn your business plan into a functioning, profitable business? What results would you expect and within what time period from hiring, training, and deploying the people? Part 7 of your business plan would bring together all the numbers that you had developed in the earlier parts of the plan. This part is your fund flow and financial projections. You would describe your projected cash flow from operations. You would spell out exactly what kind of money you expected to bring in and what kind of money would flow out and how that money would be spent. You would develop what is called a pro forma profit and loss statement. A pro forma profit and loss statement is where you calculate, by your very best estimate, the amount that you plan to sell each month for the first 18 to 24 months after you start in business. From that monthly figure, you would deduct all of the expenses that you would incur to achieve those sales. At the end of this column, you would come out with a profit or loss figure for each month. Most businesses will be in a loss position for the first 3 or 6 or 9 or even 12 months. Some businesses lose money for 2 or 3 years. In any case, your ability to accurately project your cash flow requirements is considered by many experts to be the acid test of successful entrepreneurship. For bankers especially, as well as venture capital suppliers, your ability to make your numbers, as they say, tells them whether or not you are competent or incompetent. You would then produce pro forma balance sheets showing where you would be at the end of each quarter and at the end of each year. Finally, as part of your financial projections, you would show the program that you have developed for monitoring and controlling the funds, as well as the people and the systems that will be included in the financial planning and financial controls. Part 8 of your business plan, the final part, describes the ownership structure that you anticipate. This includes all the money that you will require, the form of business that you will select, and how the ownership of the company is going to be divided up in terms of equity and debt. If you're starting your own business, the very best legal form for your business is a sole proprietorship. You can start a sole proprietorship today by simply deciding that you are one. It's that simple. If you start the business with your own name, you don't even need to register. You can open a bank account, print business cards and stationery, publish advertising brochures, rent offices, and go into the marketplace and begin to sell. A sole proprietorship has one specific benefit. Any losses that you incur while running a sole proprietorship can be deducted from all of your other sources of income in that year. However, if you set up a corporation, which many entrepreneurs rush to do, only those losses that can be offset by profits in the corporation can be deducted for tax purposes. Some people think that they can limit their legal liability by forming a corporation. The fact is that when your business is young, you will have to sign personal guarantees for virtually every penny you borrow from virtually every single source. So a corporate structure doesn't protect you at all because the lenders and suppliers have direct recourse to you and to all of your assets, usually for all time. My recommendation is that you start off as a sole proprietorship and then register the name of your new company so that no one else can start a company with the same name. When your company becomes profitable, you can incorporate, and the best way to incorporate is as an S-corporation. An S-corporation is structured so that there are no taxes paid on its income at source, but rather all the profits flow through to the owner or owners of the company on their personal income tax statements. I believe that if the company is going to have fewer than 35 shareholders, it is always best to structure it as an S-corporation to avoid the double taxation of profits. The wonderful thing about America is that you can be in business today by simply making the decision that you are now a business and that you are operating. You may not have bought or sold anything yet, but that will come soon enough. You can be an entrepreneur just by saying that that is what you are. The design of this business plan, as I've just described it, is vital to the success of your enterprise. Now, here are 7 simple formulas for business success. Number 1. Set a specific goal for yourself and begin to visualize it as a reality. Write it and rewrite it over and over again. If it's a financial goal, keep that number fixed in your mind day and night until you begin to attract into your life people and circumstances that start to make your financial goal a reality. Number 2, as an entrepreneur, look for a problem that you can solve with a product or service that is both high quality and good value. The most successful businesses and the most profitable are based on selling high-quality products at good prices. People will always pay more for a better quality product, and you will eventually end up earning more and being prouder of what you're doing than if you sell a medium or poor quality product at lower discount prices. Number 3, be willing to start small when you get into business for the first time and learn your business thoroughly. Take the time to thoroughly understand every detail of what you're doing before you move ahead. Number 4 idea for business success is test every major move before you invest in it. One of the keys to success in business, especially in marketing, is to test, test, test. Never plunge ahead with a full commitment to anything until you've tested the product, tested the service, tested the method of advertising or the headline, and you've sufficiently demonstrated that it will work on a larger scale. Number 5, expand your business on the basis of your successes, out of your profits, one step at a time. Don't be in too much of a hurry to grow rapidly. 95% of small businesses in the United States have fewer than 20 employees. The average small business that has been in operation for 10 years in this country has only 4 employees. Many of the most successful businesses took 5 or 8 or 10 years to lay down the foundation for rapid growth before they took off. Be willing to do the same yourself if necessary. Number 6, carefully select the people you will need to help you expand. The smartest thing that you can do is to hire the right people and pay them well. The biggest problems that you'll ever have in business will be from people that you hire quickly without enough thought. Be very, very careful concerning anybody that you're going to bring in as part of your business. And the seventh rule for business success is learn to use financial leverage, or what is called OPM, other people's money. Use your business borrowing based on your cash flow from your business to leverage yourself into even greater profitability and bigger businesses. The most important thing that you get from owning your own business is steady cash flow that you can use to build up your estate. Remember, many business people achieve their greatest successes in unexpected areas. They begin a business, and then they find that it isn't as profitable as they had anticipated. So they change direction, using their experience and momentum, and they strike pay dirt in something else. The most important thing is to begin, to take action, to move forward one step at a time, learning and growing as you go. There's enough information available in virtually every field for you to become knowledgeable enough to achieve success, but action is necessary. Now, here's an exercise for you. Take out a pad of paper and make a list of every job that you've ever had and every job within the job that you've ever done. Write these all down as fast as you can. Now, on a separate list, write down all the talents, skills, abilities, and special knowledge that you have in any area. Write down all the things that you've learned as the result of your work and experience, and also as the result of your study. Write them all down as quickly as you can. On the basis of these two lists, write down a minimum of 20 different businesses that you could think of that you might be suited to go into. Force yourself to write at least 20 and even 50 different business ideas if you can. If you need examples to build your list, flip through the yellow pages, starting with the table of contents to stimulate your thinking. Now compare the three lists and ask yourself this question. Based on the work that I've done in the past and the knowledge and the experience that I've gained, in what business field do I think that I could be the most successful? If you feel that you could be successful in more than one, then set priorities and determine which one you think you'd enjoy the most. Which one would you enjoy the second most? Which one would you enjoy the third most, and so on? Set a goal and make a plan to acquire information about the business that seems to be the most likely one for you to get into. Make this your own personal project. Go to the library and begin doing research in the periodicals index. Start asking people about the business. Look for some way by which you could improve the business and make what the business does more attractive to a customer or more profitable for the operators of the business. Sometimes you'll come up with an idea or insight that nobody else sees, one that can be the basis for your business fortune. But you must begin, and begin today.